So my message this morning doesn't come from the lectionary or from your bulletin insert. I want to talk a little bit this morning about that peace that passes all understanding. We've heard that phrase many times, and I have to be perfectly honest with you. Up until 4 years ago, I had really no idea what that peace that passes all understanding is like. I'd never experienced it in a way that I would call tangible or real. And just by virtue of being transparent and forthcoming, that was something that had always bothered me, because we say the words and we know a little bit about what we think we mean when we hear that phrase. It's peace in the midst of chaos and turmoil. And we understand it conceptually, but unless you experience chaos and have the intervention of God in the midst of it, you can't quite put your finger on exactly what that is. Let me read to you. My message this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5. If you have a Bible and care to follow along, 1 John chapter 5, just the first 6 verses. Listen to what John writes. He says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth." Now, in this passage, if we break it down just a little bit, John tells us that all who believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah, all who believe have been born of God. That's good to know, Pastor, but what exactly do we have to do? What do we have to believe about Jesus in order to be born of God? What specifically do we have to believe in our hearts to know that we are born of God? So according to John in this passage, the three things, if you're taking notes, that we have to believe about Jesus in order to be born of God are: one, we must believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We must believe that He is in fact God incarnate, born of a woman. That's the first thing. The second thing we must believe is that He is God's Son, born of a woman, which made Him totally human, and God's only begotten Son, which makes Him totally divine. The third thing that we have to believe, according to John here, is we must believe that He is the Savior of the world. In fact, He's the only one who is capable. He's the only one that has the right character, the right birthright, the right makeup to save the world. The only one who died, was buried, and rose again, only Jesus. Now, it's great to know these things, but see, John doesn't stop there. He goes on to tell us that our faith is not merely a question of knowledge, but there's a real ethical component to it. Listen to what he says. "If we love the one who conceives the child, we'll surely love the child who was conceived." The reality test on whether or not we love God's children is this: do we love God? Do we keep His commandments? The proof that we love God comes when we keep His commandments. See, faith and love are inseparable. Faith, love, and obedience are inseparable. If we say we love God, then we surely must love His children. If we say we love God, then we must keep His commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, you've heard me say, and I say it from personal conviction, sometimes it's really hard to love your neighbor. Indeed, it is if we see the world through the world's eyes. John says here that for the believer, God's commandments aren't burdensome. Being obedient to God is not troublesome. It's not impossible for the believer. John says every begotten person conquers the world's ways. Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is faith in Jesus Christ. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's the divine Christ. John says he experienced a life-giving birth and a death-killing death. Not only birth from the womb, but baptismal birth of his ministry and sacrificial death. And all the while, the Spirit is confirming the truth, the reality of God's presence at Jesus' baptism and crucifixion, bringing those occasions alive for us. It's a triple testimony: the Spirit, the baptism, the crucifixion, and the three in perfect agreement. And you might be thinking at this point, what on earth, John, are you talking about? How does this affect me? Well, here it is. Once we accept who Jesus is, once we accept the eternal life-giving relationship that Jesus offers us through his birth, his baptism, his ministry, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, once we have a mind renewal and a heart renewal concerning all of that, then our response to that must be, in our faith, to love all of his children and to be a witness, giving our testimony to everyone that we meet who's willing to listen about who he is and what he has done for us on a real life personal level. Now you might be thinking, why is my testimony important? Well, because your testimony about the faith you have in God through the death and resurrection of the Son, by the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the very movement of God's church in the world, spreading the truth that conquers the world, vanquishing the forces of evil and sin and sickness and death. Your faith and your witness win the victory over the world. I bet you didn't know what an integral part of salvation process your testimony can be for someone who doesn't yet have what you have. I got to thinking about all of that. And I have to tell you that I'm reminded of my own testimony, my own witness of the life-saving, death-defeating power of faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know what it was that brought it to mind. I guess it's just the time of year and just a remembrance. But as some of you might recall, it was 4 years ago this month that I was involved in a car wreck that took the life of the man who caused it. I was reminded of that event last week. Matter of fact, I was talking to Angela about it just last night. You know, it's funny. Sometimes things can happen to you and you can barely recall all the circumstances and things that led up to that event. This isn't like that. This was so impactful on my experience of the living Christ, that I remember each detail as if it were yesterday. And I think one of the things that sparked this in my memory was Angela's got a business trip coming up. I think it was 4 years ago on this same business trip, although she was in Atlanta and then she went, she was in New Orleans and then when she went to the business trip in Atlanta, it was this time of year and she's about to do the same trip on Monday. And she had been traveling and she was feeling poorly and she was in bed getting some rest and I was taking care of her the best I could. And so I fixed her a late, really meager lunch because we didn't have a lot of food in the house. And so it was then that I decided that I needed to go to the grocery store. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon, as I recall, and I set out for Kroger in Atascocita, just across the bridge from Huffman, where we live. And as I approached the 1960 bridge on Lake Houston, there was a pickup coming at a high rate of speed the opposite direction, and it crossed the median suddenly, and it sideswiped a pickup, a red one, and then it hit a black Suburban, and it caused it to roll over and over in front of me, and then it hit me head on, driver to driver, and the force of the impact, I'll never forget it, it knocked the air out of me. And for what seemed like a really long time, I couldn't get the air back into my lungs. And I know that all the airbags had deployed and my glasses were gone. And I felt a stinging on my forehead. And all of a sudden, black smoke poured through the air conditioning vents. And the engine began to rev uncontrollably. And in the midst of all that crazy chaos, suddenly there was a peace that settled on me. My first thought was, this is it, this I'm going to heaven. It was such a sense of peace. I didn't feel out of control in the midst of all that. I felt totally and completely at peace, and it settled on me. And then what came to me was that still small voice. It was a checklist. It was being read to me, step by step, what to do next. And so I heard the voice, find the engine button and push it. And so I did. The revving of the engine stopped. The voice said, now find the seatbelt button and push it. And I did it and nothing happened. And I said, nothing's happening. And the voice said, push it again. The seatbelt came loose. And then the voice said, now reach for the door handle and pull it. I couldn't find the door handle. That side airbag was covering it. It was still inflated. And so I said out loud, the airbag's still inflated. And the voice said, it's supposed to stay inflated on the side. Just use your left hand to pull the edge back and pull the lever with your right hand. It was very specific. I can't describe to you in clearer detail because it was so precise. The door showed that it had unlocked, but it didn't pop open as it usually does. And the voice said, push hard on the door. And I said, it's not moving. And the voice said, you're going to have to use your legs. And so I managed to turn in my seat and put both legs on the door. And I pushed it open with my feet. And by this time, there was so much black smoke in the car that I couldn't breathe. And so I said, not in a panic, but peacefully, I think I'm going to pass out. But the door suddenly popped open and I just slid underneath the airbag and suddenly I was on the pavement looking down 1960 at oncoming traffic, which had stopped. And the next thing I know, I woke up in the grass on the side of the road to the sound of a different voice. It was a police officer, and he was asking me the strangest question. He said, what branch of the service are you in? I didn't know how he knew that I was in the service. Maybe it was my license plate. And so I asked someone if they could find my phone so that I could call Angela, because I wanted to talk to her. And all of a sudden my phone appeared in my hand. Somebody had gone and searched the car in the midst of all that smoke, and they brought it to me. And I don't really recall the conversation. I don't even remember pressing the button to dial her number, but I remember that her voice was calm, and I remember thinking that if this is the last time I hear her voice, how blessed my life has been with her. By the time that I was strapped to the board and loaded into the ambulance, the pain from the impact was starting to kick in. After about 7 hours in the ER at Memorial Hermann in Humble, all the tests came back clear. There was nothing broken. There was no evidence of internal injury, just some bruising on my body and a few cuts and scrapes, a bloody nose, a bump on the head, which proved that my head is much harder than the windshield, by the way. And I was just sore all over, and I was oh so tired. But late that night, I walked out of the ER, and the traffic on the 1960 bridge was still backed up, as they still had it shut down because of the fatality. But I walked out of the ER. Very slowly and with help, but on my own 2 feet, and for that I praise Jesus and my God and the Holy Spirit. So in the wake of that witness and testimony, I have some observations. The reason I chose to recount that here today, not just because it's the anniversary, if you will, of that accident, but those are anniversaries I typically choose not to celebrate. But I have some observations about peace that passes all understanding. Here it is. During this accident, I felt the peace that passes all understanding, that in the midst of such chaos, the God who created me, the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, was guiding me step by step. There was this blessed assurance that no matter what the outcome of this day, I was going to be okay. Now at the hospital, I could feel the prayers of people working for my healing. I could tell you the prayers of my church family and others. I could feel them going to work for me and for all of those who were involved. Angela got up out of her sick bed and came to my side, and she was calm, and she handled the phone calls, and she helped me to understand what was being said by the doctors and the nurses and the hospital people. And her strength in and of itself was a testimony in that day. And I remember Carl and Sheila visited and prayed with us at the hospital while I was in the ER. I knew that my church family were praying also. Bobby and Chris were in constant communication with Angela. They were praying along with others in the community. And the power of the Holy Spirit was at work in this whole situation. The following Monday, Angela drove me to the vehicle storage lot to get my stuff out of the wreckage. And here's something that amazes me to this day. God had timed our trip so that we got there the same time as the woman who was in the Suburban and her husband. And it turns out that after someone came along and cut her seatbelt so that she could crawl out of her upside-down vehicle, she and several bystanders, two of whom were local pastors of churches in the area, they formed a prayer circle and they prayed over the whole scene. The peace that passes all understanding in the midst of such chaos came through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of faith, the power of prayer, the power of the people of God made manifest in all of us who lived through the event Of the four cars that were involved, eventually everyone walked away whole except for the driver who caused it for whatever reason. He passed on the helicopter, taking him to the hospital. And miracle upon miracle, the two small children that were in the truck with him walked away unscathed. And so this event 4 years ago is as clear to me this morning as it was the day after, maybe even more so. It's a part of my testimony, and really it's a part of all of our testimonies as a church family. The faith in Jesus Christ as Savior causes us to respond in love and in prayer, and we know that, as John says, this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We believe that Jesus is God incarnate, born of a woman. We believe that Jesus is the Son of Almighty God, begotten through the power of the Holy Spirit, wholly human, wholly divine, at the same time. And we believe that He is the Savior of the world, who brings us the victory over the world through the power of our faith, the power of prayer, the power of the people of God in community. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to sing our final hymn.